Just between Halloween and Election Day. Scary, isn't it?
Monitor Music, MacArthur Park, West David.
The Monitor Beacon. Message here about United Community Campaigns. For the elderly, the generation gap can mean loneliness. Your United campaign includes agencies that help the elderly, like Family Service and the Senior Center and Visiting Nurse. Your one gift works for many the United way. Give your fair share. Here's Engelbert Schutzenkoppen. Les bicyclettes de belle size.
Turning and turning, the world goes on. We can't change it, my friend. Let us go riding now through the days together.
Lady Sinclair.
size. Spinning and spinning the dreams I know, rolling on through my head. Let us enjoy them before they go. Come the dawn, they all are dead. Yes, they're dead.
Let me say,
next week at this time, it'll all be history, how the election went. If you want to get the most complete coverage of the event, follow it on NBC Radio and Television. On radio, the anchor men will be Russ Ward and Peter Hackus. The three leading presidential candidates will be covered by Don Oliver with Nixon, Robert Valeriani with Humphrey, and Ron Nesson with Wallace. Find out the winners and the losers on NBC Radio Tuesday evening starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to vote. Jankowski playing Our Beach Affair. In northeastern Pennsylvania, you're listening to WSCR Scranton. Wherever your station is, stay tuned. There's more. Morgan for Monitor.
The following is a political program. Here is Richard Nixon.
I want to talk especially to those 20 million Americans who are over 65 years of age. That generation of my parents, my teachers, and others who guided me through the formative years of my life. The first thing I'm going to do is to nail, once and for all, one of those false charges that the political opposition has made in an effort to confuse the older generation. I refer to the charge that I am against the provisions of Social Security and Medicare. Let me make this very clear. I am not only for the benefits of Social Security and Medicare, I want to improve and extend them so that they will cover more people and be more effective for each person who needs them. Too many politicians have misled the elderly with lavish promises or patronized them with caretaker attitudes. Too few. I want to take up a few of those problems right now. I have proposed an automatic cost of living increase in Social Security and railroad retirement benefits so that when prices do go up, benefits go up automatically. Some of us have been pushing this proposal for quite a while, but the present administration has actually opposed it and kept it from becoming law. I have urged other workable improvements in Social Security. For example, an increase in widows' benefits, new permission for those who work past age 65 to build their benefits to higher levels, extension of Social Security to cover all older citizens, and a relaxation of the existing limits on how much Social Security recipients can earn. In these and other ways, we can help to improve the financial picture among older Americans. Another critical aspect of this whole question is medical care. It is an unhappy fact that Americans over 65 get less adequate medical care than younger Americans, even though they are sick more often. And illness is still a major economic burden for older people, as many of you know only too well. Wasn't Medicare supposed to take care of all this? Many are asking. What's gone wrong? And the answer is that Medicare simply has not worked as effectively as it ought to be working. Often it does not get to the people who need it most. Delays in payment often seem endless. The program is hopelessly tangled in red tape. That is why I propose to make Medicare work better by simplifying the program and by improving its efficiency. I have proposed a 100% income tax deduction for drug and medical expenses, which older people still have to pay for out of their own pockets. In addition, I will appoint a special White House assistant on the aging to keep me informed of new ideas and in touch with the many councils and organizations devoted to the cause of the elderly. This approach will help find new ways of encouraging older citizens to remain active in income-producing occupations or in the voluntary activities of your communities. I believe that job placement services, education and training programs, various government service corps can do a much better job than they have been doing of involving older people. Those are just a few of the possibilities. An increasing sense of utility and participation can make a vital difference in the lives of older Americans. As Oliver Wendell Holmes said at the age of 90, the work is never done while the power to work remains. For to live is to function. That is all there is to living. Perhaps it's because I have looked up to the older generation for so long that I simply cannot accept the idea that the government must now become a custodian or a caretaker for them, or that older citizens should be treated as a mere ward of the state. I prefer to see the government, through strengthened Social Security and strengthened Medicare, and through other strong programs, entering into a creative partnership with the aging, helping and encouraging them so that they can make the maximum social contribution of which they are capable. If you, as older Americans, will do that, then all of your countrymen will be the beneficiaries, and you in turn will retain the independence, the dignity, the sense of usefulness that your generation deserves. For my part, I make this pledge. I will do everything in my power to achieve the goals we have discussed.
If you're a concerned American looking for answers to the complex questions facing us, then be sure to tune in on Election Eve to Ask Richard Nixon, a live two-hour telethon in which Mr. Nixon will answer questions phoned in from all over the country. Questions about programs and policies, about personalities and personal feelings. That's Ask Richard Nixon, a live two-hour telethon on Election Eve. Check local papers for channel and time. The preceding pre-recorded political program was paid for by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee. This is Peter Hackus. From start to finish, live across the nation, hear complete election night results on NBC Radio.
Morgan with November 3rd Monitor. In this half hour, Tony Curtis strikes back at a critic who zapped him pretty good about his new motion picture. In a couple of minutes, Bob Considine talks about another kind of fighting, ring type, prize fighting. At the moment, here are Steve and Edie, what's her name? Not fighting, just singing, A Break at Love.
You never doubt, but the only break I get is a broken heart. All I need is a break and love. The thrills of love that mean so much. A loving kiss and a tender touch. But the only break I
Next, On the Line with Bob Considine. Brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Ran into Max Schmeling the other day at Tutt Shores. The former heavyweight champion was en route home to Hamburg in West Germany from the Mexico City Olympics. He was with another former champ, Gene Tunney, who, at age 71, is 5 or 6 years older than Max. I'll be back with their choice of the greatest heavyweight, and it may surprise you, but first this. Speaking of heavyweight champions, Mutual of Omaha set a new record itself last Thursday. It paid a regular $532 monthly check to a policyholder named Glenn Graham of Newburgh, New York. He was only one of 8,000 recipients of checks that very day. But his check moved the total benefits paid by the company over the years to $3 billion. The chairman of the board of Mutual of Omaha, V.J. Scott, and Dr. Charles H. Mayo II, who is the associate medical director of the company, presented Mr. Graham with his check. Mr. Graham was disabled last year. He's a self-employed contractor, hardworking fellow with a family. He has received more than $9,000 in health insurance benefits, and he'll continue to receive those checks as long as he's disabled, even for life. I talked with him on the phone. He said his little company would have gone bankrupt without this help. He said things like, "This is a company that really pays, shows up in the nick of time with a check." Things like that. Last year, Mutual of Omaha paid over 30% more in benefits than the combined averages of the next 24 companies in its field. Now it's paying out more than $5 million a week, and part of it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy than Glenn Graham. Max Schmeling and Gene Tunney, lunching together the other day here in New York, decided that Jack Sharkey was probably the best-equipped heavyweight of their time. Schmeling won the title when he was fouled by Sharkey at the end of an elimination tournament, and Sharkey took it back from him 2 years later. That was 1932. And 5 years before, Sharkey had boxed rings around Jack Dempsey and was leading Dempsey by a wide margin when he foolishly turned to referee Arthur Donovan to protest that Dempsey had fouled him. While his head was turned, Dempsey hit Sharkey with a pile-driving left hook and knocked him flat. Tunney never got around to fighting Sharkey, though there was a great hue and cry that he'd do so. Gene made only one defense of the title he won from Dempsey, and that was against Tom Heaney, a hand-picked opponent. But Gene, a master boxer himself, knew one when he saw one, and so he had not too much difficulty agreeing with Schmeling that Sharkey might very well have been the best-fitted titleist, though perhaps not the most stable one emotionally. Sharkey was sometimes reduced to tears in a fight, but he sure could move, and he sure could punch. Sharkey, by the way, is the only heavyweight who ever fought both Dempsey and Lewis. Both knocked him out, but there were extenuating circumstances. Dempsey hit him when he wasn't looking, and he was well past his prime when he stacked himself up against Lewis, who was at the top of his peak. Schmeling looks great, by the way. He has become a wealthy man in Germany, in a field far, far from the prize ring. He has the main distributing rights to a famed American soft drink, and his bottling plants dot his homeland. He was a good fighter, Max, with one of the best right-hand punches anybody ever had.
Al Martino on monitor and Wake Up to Me Gentle.
Wake up to me gentle, sunrise in your hair, and just leave me there, and I'll never care. Fade away now slowly from my silence there into the morning air, and I'll never care. Only when I'm walking, breathing, thinking all of the time, you're leaving tears from me, the only thing that was mine. Wake up to me gentle, and don't say goodbye, don't tell me why, and I'll never cry.
Political announcement.
Why does Richard Nixon persistently refuse to speak in detail and in person on the great public issues? Why does he write private letters to stock and bond businessmen, assuring them that as president, he'll watch over their interests? What kind of lopsided campaigning is this? Hubert Humphrey is campaigning on the level. He speaks out clearly and specifically each day. For Humphrey knows, as Nixon and Wallace apparently do not, that presidential politics consists of public issues and public trust. He knows that the people will, in fact, not trust you to be president unless you do discuss the genuine issues and unless your political career has been consistently constructive rather than savagely divisive. The American people want and must have a man they can all trust. There's really only one in this race. His name is Humphrey.
Paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie.
Stand by your man and tell the world you love him. Keep giving all the love you can. Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Giving all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and he'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, forgive him, even though
just a man. When nights are cold and lonely, stand by your man and tell the world you love him. Keep giving all the love you can.
Page, stand by your man.
Love is groovy. Love is laughter cut with tears. Love is picnics. Love is debt up to your ears. Love is Christmas. Love is dreams that might come true. Love is daisies. Love is what you have to do. Hey, lover, don't you worry. Let the heavy duty cold power do it, do it. No matter how dirty, just suck a little cold power. Do it, do it. Cold power, no hot water drinking for you. Cold power, germ groups too. Love is groovy. Love is collars nice and clean with cold power.
When an actor comes to town to plug a new movie, he usually tells how wonderful it is and how wonderful he was in it. But this week, Monitor did it differently. Tony Curtis stopped by to talk about his new film, and reporter Leonard Probst threw the book at him. Well, not the book, but the newspaper review.
Mr. Curtis, you've made 50 or so movies. Mm-hmm. Your newest movie is The Boston Strangler. Mm-hmm. What effect does it have on you when you get a review such as the New York Times, which says the movie is to be avoided as surely as a stranger who appears at your door and identifies himself as a plumber whom you have not called? This review is by Renata Adler in the Times.
A few years ago, that would have disturbed me much more than it disturbs me now, because I realize now that anyone that would write a review like that, the weakness is not in the film, but in themselves. Now, I've seen the film, and it's not, I mean, a review like that is so uncalled for, as another review lauding a film would be uncalled for. You know, I don't know who's paying who off. I know there's a fellow named Morgenstern.
Magazine, Joseph Morgenstern.
Now, Joseph Morgenstern is married to an actress whose name is Piper Laurie. Now, I made 4 films with Piper Laurie, and I have yet to have a review from Morgenstern that reads anything other than some kind of obituary. Now, that man is disqualified as a reviewer, because he's married to an actress. And anytime he reviews a movie and reviews an actress, he is being in default and he is being naughty, so he shouldn't do it. He ought to be a butcher or maybe a mechanic, you know? Again, it's not venom, and I'm not speaking in any... I want to make absolutely sure that we understand that. All I'm stating is that the qualifications of this woman, I have no idea what they are. I mean, you're as qualified to review a movie as she is or anyone is. I mean, what makes a reviewer? It's still a point of view. She hates the film and someone else loves it. Now, I mean, what are you going to say? Who is right, who is wrong? So what you do, there's a long way to answer it, is you pay very little attention to the really good ones and the really bad ones, you know? You just know that the work you're doing is the best you can do, and that's where it's at for yourself, anyway. That's where it is for me.
What makes a reviewer? Tony Curtis asks. Well, what makes an actor? It's moot, friends. It's very moot, moot, moot.
For 1969 with the beautiful new Mercury Montego, the winning intermediate from the makers of the Lincoln Continental. Montego.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Montego, with the look that makes an automobile truly beautiful. See all the winning new Mercury Montegos at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Montego is here, drive a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
And taste of honey. NBC News on the Hour is next with reports on how the three leading presidential candidates are spending the day of rest. Campaigning, maybe? Morgan from Monitor, back soon.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is of major concern.